And I'm Katie. That sounded bad. I was like, wait, oh my God, what do we say? Okay. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Two White Girls Talk Bollywood. I'm Kim.
And I'm Katie, and we're here to talk about singing and dancing and Bollywood, boys and girls, and Lerv.
And Lerv. Bollywood dancing, the best pair of dancers.
Dancing Jodi.
The best dancing Jodi you could ever possibly ask for.
Mm-hmm.
We are talking about Rob Nabana di Jodi this week.
Yes.
And gosh, is this just a lovely film.
I love it so much.
Yeah.
So much. And I'm happy that my trend is continuing where every time I watch it again, I love it more than I even remember loving it before.
Yeah.
Because you'd think you'd eventually run out of space love something, but no, not
but
yet.
Not in the case of Rob Nabana di Jodi. I agree, and I know I said this last week, but it had been a while since I had watched it, and I also think I maybe had, like, watched just the first, like, 30 minutes of it more recently than I had watched the entirety of the movie, but it really is so full of love. I know that's such a cliche thing to say, but it's so, it has a perspective on love that I don't think a lot of movies, and particularly a lot of Bollywood movies, has.
I agree.
And I have some notes about that I want to save for the end, but I just feel like the pure unselfish love that we see touted in this film is, it's a kind of love that doesn't get represented a ton in romantic media, because I think we're sort of told that the sort of love to aspire towards is the kind that's, like, big and flashy, like what Raj is putting out there.
And also the unselfish love that you say, and to love without the expectation that you're going to be loved in return.
Right. To love someone unconditionally and without expectation of reciprocation. Yeah.
I love it.
It's
beautiful.
It is beautiful. Couldn't agree more. The movie stars the wonderful and fabulous Anushka Sharma, the wonderful and fabulous Shah Rukh Khan.
Yes.
And was directed by Aditya Chopra. Just what a phenomenal group of people behind this. And I feel like I always forget that this was Anushka's first film and that she was an outsider, which was fun to find out from The Romantics. But I feel like she does such a good job in this movie, particularly she has a very short amount of time to depict Tawny, like, pre-tragedy.
Yes.
And in the, like, three sentences that she has before the tragedy happens, she really does show you, like, this is the kind of warm and loving person that you could immediately fall in love with. And I think you just have to be as charming and wonderful as Anushka seems to be in order to pull that off.
I agree. I was thinking about the same thing. I was like, wow, right, this is her first film. And she does such a good job getting her own personality across.
Yes.
And, like, her own style of acting.
Yes.
Like you said, really in that first, those first few minutes, because you don't really see it again until, like, two-thirds of the way through the movie. So.
Right, yeah.
It's great. I love it.
It is great. Yeah. No notes. Just nothing but love.
And we talked about what order we wanted to do things for our research and our plot recap, because when we were covering The Romantics, we did mention the 2008 Mumbai attacks and the impact that that had on Robne, but also kind of the healing that happened thanks to Robne. So we're going to do our research first this week, just because it's some heavy stuff. So we want to end similar to how things happened in 2008. We're going to end on the happy, optimistic, hopeful note rather than ending on the the sad.
Yes, absolutely. The film will be a palate cleanser after what I'm sure is going to be a challenging research topic.
Yeah. And so that said, I'm not going into graphic detail about anything that happened, but I am detailing the events that happened on the several days of the 2008 Mumbai attacks. So, you know, content warning that if you don't want to hear that, that's totally okay. I'd say skip somewhere in the realm of 15 to 20 minutes ahead and get to the plot recap.
Yeah, and because I imagine that there are probably quite a few of our listeners who know about this and maybe lived through it as it was happening. And so it feels the equivalent to me of someone outside of the U.S. talking about 9/11.
Right.
And it was like, you know, I don't feel like I need to know anything about that. But people from outside of our country would maybe not have that same emotional attachment to it.
Right. So yeah, the 2008 Mumbai attacks are also known as 26/11. It was a series of terrorist attacks conducted by 10 members of a group called Lashkar-e-Taiba, a militant Islamist group from Pakistan. So there were 12 coordinated shooting and bombing attacks from November 26th, 2008 to November 29th. A total of 175 people died, including 9 of the 10 attackers, and then more than 300 people were injured.
Oh my God, wow.
Yeah, and so I think it's the scale of the tragedy that is really hard to stomach. But
yeah.
8 of the attacks were in South Mumbai, including the railway station, like the actual Mumbai train station, a cinema, a restaurant, a Jewish outreach house, a hospital, a college, the Times of India building, and 2 hotels.
Wow.
Yeah, they targeted
places where they knew a lot of people were going to be.
Yeah. And then the other 2 attacks targeted a taxi and a location in Mumbai's port. So they learned after the fact, after these attacks, intelligence officials learned that the attackers were trained at a remote mountain camp in Pakistan where they were indoctrinated to Islamist jihadi ideas, including specific imagery of the atrocities committed against Muslims in India. So not any different, really, than any of the extremist indoctrination happening elsewhere. But
right.
U.S. intelligence agencies claim that former officers from Pakistan's army and inter-services intelligence agency actively assisted in training the attackers.
Wow.
The attacks started on November 26th when the attackers hijacked an Indian fishing boat and arrived on shore in Mumbai around 8 p.m. And they were seen by local fishermen who submitted a report to the police because these guys looked suspicious. And that report went largely ignored. I will also say that the Wikipedia entry is not friendly towards police necessarily. So potential bias, I don't know enough. But an hour and a half later, 2 of the attackers opened fire in the railway station, killing 58 people and injuring 104 others over the course of an hour and 15 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, I hadn't realized when we were talking about it before, like, that it was really a collection of mass shootings.
Right.
Like, no wonder people were terrified to leave their houses.
Yeah, you just don't know where you might or might not be safe.
Right.
Yeah.
But during this attack, a railway announcer named Vishnu Dadaram Zende was able to make an announcement over the loudspeaker telling passengers to leave the station, and it's thought that he saved many more lives by doing that than, you know, would have otherwise survived.
Yeah.
So we gotta highlight the heroes.
The heroes,
too.
Yeah. The fact that numbers could have been so much higher if people weren't able to flee, be warned that it was happening. Yeah.
Exactly. And when emergency services arrived at the railway station, the gunmen fled, killing 8 police officers as they did. Yeah. They then headed to Kama Hospital, intending to kill patients, but the hospital staff locked all of the patient wards and they were unable to get in.
Wow.
So the 2 gunmen were later apprehended at a police roadblock. One was killed and the other was arrested. So those are those 2. There were 10. At the same time that the attack on the railway station was occurring, 2 other gunmen were opening fire on the Leopoldo Cafe, a popular restaurant and bar. And within 20 minutes, they'd killed 10 people and injured many more.
Wow.
And then the two hotels that were targeted on the first night were the Taj Mahal Palace Hotel, which is what the Hotel Mumbai film is about.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Oberoi Trident was the other hotel. And 6 explosions were reported at the Taj Hotel, while 1 was reported at the Oberoi Trident. But firefighters were able to rescue 200 hostages from windows using ladders on that first night.
Incredible. Wow.
Yeah. So the gunmen were in there holding people hostage. I'm unclear what the demands were.
Yeah.
It just seems like, yeah, they're just trying to kill. But then the Nariman House, which was a Jewish center, was also taken over by 2 attackers who held several residents hostage. And emergency services were able to rescue 9 hostages from the first floor of that building on the first day. And then they successfully took the house back on the second day, but 6 hostages were killed. And radio transmissions picked up by Indian intelligence confirmed that the attackers specifically targeted the Jewish center for the Jewish people living within it.
I'm shocked / fascinated that they targeted the Jewish community, given that it seems that their motivations were that they feel that Muslim people are mistreated in India as a religious minority. So the fact that they specifically sought to target another religious minority within the country, that's fascinating to me.
Yeah, I don't know why they did that. It did say that, like, the message that the intelligence picked up on was that the attackers had been trained and taught that a Jewish life was worth 50 of a non-Jewish life.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why?
It's that's sickening.
And I did not read more into that because that was personally
I can completely understand how upsetting that would be. And it's not as if religious tensions don't exist between Jewish and Muslim people elsewhere in the world, but it is.
Yeah.
I don't even have words to describe it because it's just thinking that I, as not a religious extremist, could never understand.
Right.
It's just bizarre to me on a level that I have no interest in ever knowing more about.
Yeah, yeah. By the morning of November 28th, the third day of the attacks, the Mumbai police had successfully secured every site except for the Taj Hotel. They thought that they'd freed all the Taj Hotel hostages and taken out the attackers, only to be alerted that there were still 2 or 3 attackers left in the building. And at 8 a.m. on November 29th, National Security Guard commandos completed their final operation at the Taj Palace, officially concluding the attacks. And ultimately, 250 people were rescued from the Oberoi, 300 from the Taj, and 60 from Nariman House, the Jewish community center. So clearly, a lot of people were rescued.
Yeah.
But a lot of people also died.
People were died or were injured.
And
all of those people who are rescued, I'm sure, have longstanding trauma because of being a part of this. And again, it's just such a tragedy, not just because of the lives lost and the lives impacted, but I can't imagine this did anything to help Hindu-Muslim relations in India or in Mumbai specifically.
Right. Yeah, and I didn't look into the specific impact on the religious relations, but it also didn't help Pakistan and Indian, you know, relations.
And it doesn't seem like that was what they didn't want to help, but it's just tragic that it likely
it
caused
has a
more tension.
Wider ripples than what they were even maybe trying to do. Yeah. Yeah, so the Pakistani Prime Minister at the time, Yusuf Raza Gilani, and the President, Asif Ali Zardari, condemned the attacks and promised to assist in the investigation. India alleged that the attackers were so well organized that they must have had backing from Pakistani agencies. As we said, you know, it's thought that ex-agents maybe were helping them, but Pakistan was like, they're not active people. We did not
this was not condoned
this.
By anyone who's like still currently involved in
exactly
organizations.
Years later, Pakistani politicians still question Pakistan's inaction in preventing the terrorist attacks. Hmm. And the attacks further strained India's recovering relationship with Pakistan, as we mentioned, and Indian citizens also criticized their political leaders for their ineptness in preventing or responding to the attacks.
Right.
Yeah. So it's really rough.
Hard stuff. Yeah. And I think especially, you know, we live in the U.S. and mass shootings are something we experience on a regular basis. Well, that we hear about on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. But just imagining what it must have been like to have multiple of those instances on such a large scale and in such a short amount of time, yeah. That's something
terrifying.
That's horrifying on a level that I can't imagine. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate having more knowledge about what happened during that period and what people were living through.
Oh, yeah. It was...
Yeah. And like you said before diving into the facts, I think it is in a way helpful to think about what the state of Mumbai and India was when Adi Chopra was sitting down to decide, like, do I delay the release of this film?
Right.
And came to that conclusion of, no, I think this is actually going to help people in this moment. And clearly he was right. And, you know, not saying that this is like a cure-all, that like people suddenly like aren't thinking about it, but to be distracted and to get to feel emotion about something that is so like simple and pure when something so horrifying has just happened in your community, that feels good. And and I have a lot of respect for the courage that it took for him to kind of forge ahead. And it really does, in my mind, paint the movie in a different light, mm-hmm. an even more glowing light than I already felt towards it.
Right. Yeah. It's like the I can see how the purity and like the simplicity of the film's message mm-hmm. would be something to hold on to and kind of be hopeful and happy about.
Right. It's uncomplicated. And it's not even like it was trying to deliver like some serious message. It's simple and it feels good and it's silly and you can laugh at it and you can fall in love with it and it's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
let's
do it.
Let's go through our own palette cleanser and talk through the plot of this beautiful, wonderful film.
Rabne.
We begin with some establishing shots of the city of Amritsar in Punjab. And I made a note that I feel like Aditya Chopra as a director really likes to establish a setting and have his setting be like, you know, this movie couldn't happen anywhere else.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I agree. And I felt like I was paying more attention to it mm-hmm. this time through because of what we saw in The Romantics.
Me
which
too.
Was so cool.
Yeah, absolutely. See, it's where we learn, we come back, we reflect, and mm-hmm. we can apply these new ways of thinking. But our story begins where DDLJ ends, with a train pulling into a station. And we see an unassuming man disembark and then turn and offer his hand to a woman dressed in wedding finery. But the woman does not take his hand.
Mm-mm.
This is Surinder, or Suri, and his new bride, Tani. The newlywed couple arrives at home to none of the typical fanfare. And Suri tells us in a voiceover that he saw his new wife for the first time just yesterday. And then we get a flashback to a joyful Tani preparing to celebrate her wedding with the love of her life. And Surinder is attending the wedding because he is a favorite former student of Tani's father. Mm-hmm. And Tani even teases him for like setting such a high bar for her. She's like, oh, my dad loved you so much that he expect me to be this perfect student. And he wishes that you were his son and he wishes that we could get married. And Suri just laughs at this. He's a very shy, very simple guy.
Yeah, he's got very practical sneakers.
Very practical. I would even go so far as to call call them potentially orthopedic sneakers.
Yeah.
And like a like dull gray khakis. Like not even like khaki colored khakis.
They're yeah. They're something.
They're really something.
So when Suri first sees Tawny, he's like had been talking to her father and he had like a Coke or something with a straw sticking out of it. And then as he's watching Tawny, he kind of like misses his mouth
can't find
with
the straw.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Because he's like transfixed by her.
I must have been taking notes when that happened. Oh, that's adorable.
It's just very cute.
Yeah. Because he is, yeah, just this shy, simple guy who does immediately fall in love with this like vivacious, like joy-filled, laughing woman. Mm-hmm. But all good things must come to an end.
Apparently.
And as Tawny is, like, dancing with her family, her father runs up to her and delivers the news that the bus carrying the groom's family and the groom crashed and nobody survived.
Yeah.
And
I just wonder what happened.
I assume it, like, went over a cliff.
Right, because like, we talked about that before and how scared we are of that happening.
Right, yeah, just gone. Ugh. Gone in an instant. And Tawny is distraught by this news, obviously. And her father is so shocked that he has a massive heart attack.
Yeah.
And we next see Tawny's father in the hospital, and he first bids Suri to marry Tawny to look after her and make sure that this tragedy doesn't break her. Mm-hmm. And then he tells Tawny that he's not going to force her to marry Suri, but God chooses some relationships for us, and God has chosen Suri for Tawny. And so this poor, miserable woman who has lost every important relationship to her in a day, in the course of a few hours, she agrees, her father dies, and she marries this man she barely knows and moves with him to his home. So that's where we are. That's why there's a little bit of tension between this newlywed couple.
Right.
So we return to the present, and Suri moves all of his clothes out of his room and leaves that whole space for Tawny, who is sitting nervously on the bed, clearly not knowing if he is going to take advantage of her in any way.
Yeah.
But luckily for Tawny and for the rest of us, Suri is the sweetest and least violent man on the planet.
just so sweet.
So
like,
sweet.
So sweet.
Yeah. His love for her is, as we will see, entirely unselfish. He moves upstairs into the dark and dank attic. There's like cobwebs and clutter, and it's not a happy place to be. And the next morning, Suri wakes up and he knocks on Tawny's door, but she doesn't answer. And so he makes breakfast for himself and for her, and he leaves a plate out for her.
He burns his toast.
He burns the toast. He's a little domestically challenged.
Mm-hmm.
But still, Tawny doesn't come out. And so before he leaves for his work day, he writes his name and phone number on a piece of paper and leaves it on the table. And then there's a vase of flowers on the table, and he takes out a rose and places it on the note. And then he thinks better of it and puts the rose back in the vase. But I love that in that moment we start to get a little bit of the hole hole music playing.
Yes, that happens several times throughout this movie, that they're like, okay, we're going to start to tease, like, the next song.
Yep, yeah.
And I loved it. Yeah.
It's so good. He leaves for his work day. He works at the electric company, Punjab Power. And his coworkers have learned that he has gotten married. And so they're teasing him. And then they just fully invite themselves over to his house to meet his new wife, which is, I think, a little rude. But what do I know?
Yeah. And he really tries to discourage them.
He does. He does not want this to happen. And he knows that Tawny does not want this to happen. But it's happening. He has no say in the matter. Meanwhile, a man named Bobby Khosla arrives outside Suri and Tawny's house, pounding on the door and shouting that he'll never forgive Suri for getting married without telling him. Mm-hmm. And poor Tani is just, like, cowering in the bedroom crying as this is happening. But when Suri arrives home, he talks Bobby down. Bobby is his, like, best friend since childhood. Very different energies between these two men. But, you know, opposites mm-hmm. attract in friendship sometimes.
Yes.
But he explains the whole situation to Bobby. And Bobby is also a fairly sweet man, and he's just got tears in his eyes as he's listening to this story.
I forgot about Bobby almost entirely, and then watching this, I was like, ugh, Bobby. And then within that moment, I was like, oh, Bobby.
I know, that's what it takes. It's like he comes in with this, like, really strong energy, and then, mm-hmm. but he really is a softie, and he cares a lot about Suri, and this story would break anybody's heart. But so Suri's co-workers arrive. Bobby goes to distract them while Suri goes to invite Tani out to meet everyone. But she doesn't come out. She doesn't respond to him knocking on the door. And so he's like, it's all right. I'll manage. You just keep resting. Aww. Which, again, so kind. He's like, do what you need to do to take care of yourself. I got this covered.
Yeah.
So he goes, he hangs out with his coworkers for a little bit, and then they're like, all right, we can see that she's not coming. We're sorry we invited ourselves over. We'll get out of your hair. Mm-hmm. And just at that moment, beautiful Tani appears carrying a tray of drinks, and she kindly smiles and nods at all of the guests. And Suri is just overwhelmed with love as Tani proceeds to play the perfect hostess. You'd never guess that her father and the love of her life died 2 days ago. She just swallows the emotions and performs this role. After everyone has left, Tani apologizes to Suri for being so distant with him, and she asks him to be patient with her because she says she needs time to let go of her old self and become somebody new. Mm-hmm. And she also tells him that she will never love him, and she says that she'll understand if he doesn't want to be in a loveless marriage, but that's the situation they find themselves in.
Yeah.
And Suri has the absolute perfect response, which is to say he has never had the opportunity to love a woman. He's barely even talked to any women in his life. Aww. And in his eyes, the effort that Tani made in front of his coworkers is love, and that is all he expects from her.
Yeah.
Tani says that Suri is lucky to have never known the pain of love. And as she leaves, Suri says, oh, that's why I've been in so much pain the last 2 days, because I'm in love.
Yeah, my heart.
I know. And of course, I mean, like, I want to take this moment to talk about Shah Rukh's performance here, because...
Oh, my God.
He's so good in this role, and mm-hmm. really, like, I'm going to say hides his light under a bushel, you know, because, like, this is not... I mean, Suri is a charming character, and you absolutely fall in love with him, like, immediately with just how kind and sweet he is, but, like, Shah Rukh is really having to hide away a lot of that charisma that makes him who he is. And he does a great job.
Yeah. It's just like the earnestness.
Exactly. Like, yes.
The earnestness in love that is showing through.
Yes. Ugh. It's phenomenal. I also always wonder, like, what happened to Suri's parents? Why does Suri live alone in this, like, beautiful, humongous house? But I don't need to know the answers to those questions.
Because I had kind of just assumed that maybe he was, like, well off. But later on, he kind of talks about how he's like, yeah, we couldn't have afforded...
A trip to Japan.
Such and such. Yeah, on my salary.
All of their money's going into the house, I guess.
Apparently.
Anyway, the next morning, Suri comes downstairs to find that Tani has made breakfast for them both. She has not burnt the toast.
No, she has not.
And she's even packed a lunch for him to bring to work. And Suri is so enamored with this small gesture of care that he stares lovingly at this lunch pail, and this launches us into our first dance number, Hale Hale, which
Hale Hale.
I am definitely going to pick this as my favorite, but I'm sure we would both agree that this is a week where, like, multiple favorites are are inevitable.
100%, because I think all three dance numbers should go on our playlist.
Absolutely. And I have the fourth number too is one of my favorites, but not for, like, the dancing, but
I agree with that as well. So I'm gonna also say, because we already are saying that those three are gonna go on the list,
yeah,
Holly Holly is my favorite as well.
It's just so sweet. And yeah. That's literally what it means, right? It means, like, sweetly, like, slowly, gently. Yeah. Like, just that's the feeling and...
Like his love.
Like his
love. He's like, the love's gonna flow now.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I was just gonna say how much I love the three little vignettes that we get that are all, like, a single shot, where, like, first it's him kind of, like, walking down the streets, and she shows up in, like, a little cart, and then when he's buying the car, and then when they're the women dancing on the rooftop. Like, I just think that those are all, like, this song is phenomenal. Those little vignettes are all, like, beautifully directed. They're all single shots. They're all, like, timed to perfection. They're all, like, funny and sweet in their own way. And I love it.
Thanks for calling attention to that. Yeah, because now that you're saying, I'm like, oh my God, yeah, they are, aren't they? Like, and they are beautiful.
They
and
are.
Just like emotional. I love the whole car, like, traffic scene.
It's so funny.
Because he's like, just like, I'm just going to get out of dance, and everyone is upset around him.
Yeah, he just has no mind for the horror of that traffic jam. He's just joyfully in love, and it's adorable.
Yeah, and like, it shows him going to the movies, right?
Yes, yeah.
And him seeing her, like, laughing at the action hero on screen.
Whose name is Raj.
Raj. You've heard of me, right?
You or doesn't heard of me, yeah.
Something like that. But I love that, too, after that happens, he goes home and starts kind of, like, trying to make himself more suave.
Yeah.
By, like, rolling up his sleeves.
Yep.
And then he, like, waltzes into, like, the kitchen to try to, like, show her his forearms.
Look at my forearms, yeah.
And she ignores it. And I was like, Shah Rukh's forearms do it for me, personally.
I've said it before. They're some of the best out there. They're beautiful forearms. Because again, you know, he's doing a great job of hiding his hotness and his charisma in this role, but there's only so much you can do. And like, his neck ropes.
I know.
I wrote down, I was like, this is not the SRK of DDLJ times.
No.
This is a different man.
Well, and then when like they show him like bathing in the mornings too.
I know. I'm like, you can tell that he's got his Om Shanti Om body under that baggy button down.
Yeah. His Dardy Disco.
Disco.
But it's so beautiful and sweet, and it gets stuck in my head a lot.
Me too. Holly, Holly. Yeah. Quickly, the other plot moment that happens here is that Tawny spruces up the attic for him. And that's kind of what, like, launches him then into this, like, practicing being kind of, like, cute and charismatic. And, yeah, but then, yeah, importantly, there is, we see that Tawny really likes romantic movies and is entertained by the romantic heroes she sees on screen.
Yeah.
So after this adorable dance number, Tawny is on her way home from doing her shopping, and she sees a poster for the Dancing Jodi competition. And she takes a flyer home to Suri, and she asks for his permission to join this dance class, because she says, you know, I'm pretty bored at home, I love to dance, I'd love something to do. So she leaves him the flyer, and Suri just stands up and walks out of the room. So Tawny, disheartened, goes to wash the dishes from their dinner, but then as she walks back into the dining room, she sees that he has left cash on the table for her admission fee for the class.
Yeah. Of course he has.
I know, because he's a sweet, sweet guy, and he just wants her to be happy. So Suri then goes to have a drink with his friend Bobby at Bobby's salon, because Bobby's a hairdresser. And Suri confesses that he has fallen in love with Tawny, but that she doesn't love him back. And so he asks for Bobby's help in turning him into one of those movie heroes that Tawny loves. And Bobby's like, listen, I was born for this. I'm on board. We're doing it.
Also, I think when he's asking Bobby, he kind of does like a whole monologue, right?
Yeah.
And it was just one of those moments. And this is what I always love about like truly great actors that can like just suck you in.
Yes.
And you're like, I'm on them. Like, I'm just, I'm breathless. I'm just watching them. And then like at the end of a monologue, when they choose to like break that connection with the audience, you're like, whoa, where was I? And I had one of those moments with like that emotional moment where he's like, I need to be this for her so that I can actually see her being who I know she is, you know? Right. And I was like, this might come as a surprise, but I adore Shah Rukh Khan's
That
acting.
Is a surprise. I've never heard you say anything like that.
I know. It's a real shocker to everyone.
You're so right. I'm glad you, like, slowed down and called attention to that moment. And there are several, like, monologues that he has throughout the movie that are just, they're so well written and they're so well performed and they really do just get you right in the heart. But so this launches us then into a makeover montage, which who doesn't love a makeover montage?
Every time, it's great.
Bobby gives Suri a haircut. He also gives him what I'm going to call frosted tips, even though they're technically not. I guess he just gives him highlights, but frosted tips is more fun to say. And he also accidentally shaves off half of Suri's mustache, which then means they have to remove the rest of it.
Yes.
And so Suri's plan is that he's going to go home and he's going to surprise Tawny with this new look when she gets home from dance class. But first, he wants to sneak into her dance class because he really wants to see her dance, which is adorable. And so that's what he does. He goes to the dance hall and he sneaks in and he rolls in wearing very pointy boots, embellished jeans, and a skin-tight t-shirt that says Bad Boy in rhinestones. He has fully adopted Bobby's energy.
And I feel like his shirts aren't long enough to like fully cover his belly.
No, they're always riding up, and his jeans also kind of ride low.
They're a little low. Yeah, and so he's also like, so his jeans are simultaneously like too low, but also too much up in his butt.
Yeah, they're ill-fitting jeans. Yeah. You know, this isn't the look I generally go for, but he's doing his best. And as he's kind of like creeping around the dance hall so he can watch Tawny from the shadows, which sounds very like stalkery, but it's very romantic.
Yeah, it's sweet.
It's very sweet, yeah.
It's a fine line between romance and stalking.
It really is, yeah. But so one of the instructors sees him and pulls him into the like dance routine that they're learning, thinking that he wants to join the class. And inevitably then, when the instructors divide the class into the partners, into the Jody, he and Tawny get paired together.
Yes, because it's a match made by God.
It's true. Yes, that's right. It's the title. So as Tawny is walking towards him, he's kind of having this internal debate and he decides, you know what, I'm going to go with this. I am going to pretend to be a hero. I'm going to just do my best to play this role. And she doesn't recognize him. And he introduces himself as Raj. And I do want to say, I understand you have to suspend your disbelief a little bit with Tawny not recognizing him. But also, like, Tawny never really looks at Suri because she's very unhappy. Not with him, but just in life.
I had that thought as well.
So I think it's, like, I don't think we ever see her, like, actually fully, like, gaze into his eyes for an extended period of time until the end as Suri. Well,
exactly. And Suri also doesn't give off the air of someone who is comfortable being looked at for an extended period of time either.
That's
so
true.
It's like
her
own sadness mixed with his signals he's putting out there kind of like, don't notice me, my shoulders are hunched. Like,
that's a very good point. Yeah. Yeah.
I really don't think you have to suspend your belief that much.
I agree. I think because we know what's happening, it seems obvious, but I actually think they did a really good job, and Shah Rukh did a really good job of changing up his body language and his voice and everything. So I'm on board. I believe it.
Me too. Although I would always just be on the lookout for Shah Rukh Khan.
You never know where he might be hiding, who he might be pretending to be.
It's like, are you Shah Rukh? No, what? Are you sure, though?
I don't know who that is.
Well, then.
Then he just does the arms.
Yes.
Oh, that's very funny. But so I wrote here that Raj is a big vibe.
Yeah.
And Tawny is definitely, like, a little bit unsure about this guy who's now assigned as her dance partner, especially when she bids him farewell and he tells her to never say goodbye, but rather say, hum he rahi pyar ke, pyar milenge chalte chalte, which means we are traveling the love lane, down the road we'll meet again. I do think that they maybe changed up the wording a little bit to make it rhyme.
Yeah.
But certainly, pier melengue chelte chelte does mean we will meet again.
Yeah.
As we travel. As we go.
What a ridiculous way to say goodbye.
It really is. It's... And
I also just think about the fact that, like, we'll talk about this more, I'm sure, the differences between, like, Suri and Raj's yeah. personalities. But, like... No one is making Raj say these things.
No!
Like, Suri is coming up with this.
Yes, yeah.
Which indicates to me that there is a part of his personality
yep.
that kind of is like Raj.
I think so, too.
So, yeah, I'm just going to say that for now.
Yeah, I believe that. And I like that, you know, he says this kind of crazy tagline, and then he's like, you know what? I like it. And then he says it to everybody as he's leaving the dance hall.
Yeah.
So Suri goes back to Bobby, and he says that he's going to keep this ruse going, because Suri reminds Tawny of her past, and he doesn't feel like, as Suri, he can really show her how much he loves her, but maybe he can do that as Raj.
Yeah.
And he also says that God wants this for him, and so Bobby gives his approval in the form of a fake mustache so he can go back and forth between being Suri and Raj. I'm still a little bit unclear on how they hide the highlights, but that's not, again, it's not for me to know.
Yeah, and, like, just, I don't think that Raj's hair, if you flatten it out, turns into Suri's hair.
No, probably not.
So I'm kind of like... Hmm.
Maybe
right.
he was wearing a wig, but they just didn't tell us that. But so things don't go great in their next dance class. Raj comes on a little bit too strong, and Tawny says that they can't be partners if he is going to flirt with her constantly. Mm-hmm. And he promises to behave himself if she gives him one more chance, but he is also a terrible dancer.
Yeah.
As they're leaving class that day, it starts to rain, and so Raj insists on giving Tawny a ride home on his motorcycle, which is actually Bobby's motorcycle. And he tells her that anything that she wishes for in the rain will surely come true. And then he asks her what her heart wants. And she's like, well, what do you think? You tell me. And he's like, I think your heart wants to stop hurting. And this really hits her because, yeah, that's true. And... he says, close your eyes and let the raindrops reach your heart. And
let
she...
let the rain
I know, all I can think of is Hillary Duff.
Let it wash away my sanity.
Cause I wanna feel the thunder.
Scream.
I'm coming clean.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we're feeling here. This
What's
moment.
That? Where's that meme? Hillary Duff in the back of Robney.
For the Venn diagram, that's basically just two circles touching.
Yeah.
Although, what do I know? That could be a bigger overlap
than
I'm
aware of.
That's
true. We don't know.
We don't know.
But it is a very touching, beautiful moment.
It is a beautiful moment. And then when Tawny gets home, she opens a window and she stands in front of the open window and lets the rain kind of fall on her again. And then Suri comes in and he asks her to close the window because the floor is getting wet. It's very symbolic.
Yeah. When does the one become an act and the other one isn't an act, you know?
Like, I think that's a great question. I do feel like Suri loses himself a little bit through
a
some
little
of
bit.
This. But it's okay. We make it in the end. At their next class, Raj and Tawny learn that the teams are going to start earning points in class, and then only the top 10 teams are going to be chosen to compete in the Dancing Jodi competition. So Raj very sweetly tells Tawny that she should find a new partner because there's no way she's ever going to win with him. But then Tawny and Suri go to the movies together, and Tawny falls asleep. And she has a dream where Raj appears on screen, and he tells her that he's going to show her what real love is, Hindi film style. And
yes,
this
dramatic.
Launches us, yeah, very dramatic. And this launches us into our next dance number, Pyar Milenge Chalte Chalte.
Yeah.
This is a lot of fun.
with all the gorgeous ladies and all the fun costumes.
Yes, and I have been wanting to know this for a long time, so I did look up. I knew who most of the ladies were, but I looked that up to be sure, and I looked up who the references are.
Oh, right. I forgot that they were also references.
Yeah. And so I found this. This is credited to both Wikipedia and a blog that I found called Don't Call It Bollywood. The first part with Kajol is a reference to Raj Kapoor and Nargis Dutt, who were an on-screen pair from the 50s who Shah Rukh and Kajol have been compared to for their, like, on-screen chemistry. And I will say this is the only female actress that the blog specifically mentioned. It seems like the rest of them are maybe a little bit vague or ambiguous with, like, what actress from that era they might have been referencing, but I'm gonna say the ones that they put on Wikipedia.
Okay, great.
And so then the second chunk is Shah Rukh is emulating Dev Anand and the actress Bipasha Basu, who we are going to be seeing soon in an upcoming film. She is emulating potentially Sadhana Shivdasani. And then in the third chunk, we've got Shah Rukh emulating Shami Kapoor and the actress Lara Dutta emulating Helen Khan.
Because that was a fun one, too. I'm like, yeah. I want to know the movie.
That one is one. And that's the other thing is there weren't specific movies mentioned because I think that they're each referencing like multiple songs from multiple movies.
Okay, yeah.
But that one I'm pretty sure is also referenced in Om Shanti Om, I think is one of the...
Yeah.
That kind of like the gold and the, right. the kind of casino vibe.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of reminds me of Dawn.
It is a little Dawn-esque, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't take much to remind you of Dawn, though. It's not far from your mind ever.
You put Shah Rukh in anything, and it's
like,
Dawn.
When's the time to watch Dawn 2? And then, okay, fourth, we have Shah Rukh emulating Rajesh Khanna and Preeti Zinta, the fabulous Preeti Zinta, emulating Sharmila Tagore. And then finally, we have Shah Rukh emulating Rishi Kapoor, who, by the way, as we already know, being Ranbir Kapoor's father, is Raj Kapoor, who was the first person that Shah Rukh was emulating, that's Rishi Kapoor's grandfather. And then Shami Kapoor, who was the third person that Shah Rukh was emulating, is his uncle.
Okay.
So with all those Kapoors I just mentioned, all related.
Yes. Okay.
But then, so Rani Mukherjee, the glorious, fabulous Rani Mukherjee emulating Neetu Singh.
Wonderful. She took my breath away.
It's effortless for her to do so.
How is she that gorgeous?
I don't know.
It's absurd, but in the most amazing way.
Did you feel like an extra sort of pull of love towards her knowing that she's married to Aditya Chopra?
Yes. Yes, I
and
did.
And they weren't married at this point, but that's adorable.
But I also, every time I look at her, I'm like, way to go, Adi.
Yeah, I know.
She's good, gorgeous.
Good job, everybody involved. You all are winners.
Yeah.
I lastly wanted to end with a quote from the blog that I really liked, which was that ultimately this song is a tribute to romantic heroes, the actors who dedicated themselves to cheering and empowering and encouraging Indian women for the past 50 years. And I just really like that because I also feel like it captures the spirit that Adi has about like the perspectives of women watching his films and that like they're the ones who really have the power to say like what can make or break a male star.
Right.
And I love that.
Me too.
But so after this number, this has convinced Tani that Raj is a good guy and he deserves a third chance at this point. But so she finds out Raj's address and it turns out it's not a home, it is a mechanic shop. And so she goes in search of him and luckily Bobby is there. And so he like hears Tani arrive asking for Raj. He calls Suri over and tells him to get into his Raj ensemble and get over to the shop. And I love this moment because we visibly see Suri's like body language and movements like change to Raj's. Yeah. It's a great shot. But Tani tells him that she won't abandon him, and if he promises to work hard, she promises they'll win the competition. And so Raj agrees he's going to work hard, they're going to make this happen. Mm-hmm. And so then Suri, still dressed as Raj, goes to celebrate with Bobby. And Bobby kind of passes out drunk. And Suri walks up to the mannequin that is wearing his outfit. He's still dressed as Raj, but he's looking at his, like, actual clothes as Suri. And he kind of talks to the mannequin as if it were himself, and he's definitely talking down to him. He says that Suri could never compete with Raj, and that just like in the movies, the audience is going to cheer when Tawny inevitably chooses Raj over Suri. And it's a very sad perspective.
I know. I was like, this is heartbreaking for so many reasons, and that it's kind of exposing some of, like, Suri's own insecurities he's probably had for a really long time, that he's not, like, the hero type.
Right.
And now he's finally able to be the hero type, and now he's, like, looking at himself with, like, disdain.
Yeah.
And, and, like, he's telling him that he ruined Tawny's life.
Huh. I did, first of all, this movie has a 4.8 stars out of 5 on Amazon Prime and has, like, almost 1,000 reviews. So, like, that's pretty impressive. But I was just curious, and I was skimming some of the, like, negative reviews, and a lot of them were like, the DVD's broken, which isn't anybody's fault.
It's not the movie's fault.
But there was one that was like, oh, she's an unfaithful woman contemplating leaving her husband. And I'm like, I think you missed the point, because that's, like, literally what Suri wants. He's, like, and not entirely, but I think as he starts to grapple with his self-confidence, it sort of becomes what he wants to have happen, because he thinks that Tawny would be happier with the character of Raj, but then he has to accept the fact that he can't live his life as Raj, so it's all very complicated. But I definitely don't. Yeah. I understand that, like, fundamentally a woman contemplating leaving her husband for another man is infidelity.
Right.
And also, he was actively trying to be someone who she would love more than how much he thought she could love him. So, it's complicated. You and can't, like, reduce it down, I think, that simply.
Because not only is he trying to be someone that she would actually love, he's also trying to be someone who will help take her out of her sadness.
Right. Yeah. Bring her joy and light. Right. Yeah.
It's also extra complicated because the man she's falling for is, in fact, her husband.
He's her husband. Yeah. And the review acknowledged that, but they were like, but she doesn't know that. And I'm like, you know what? Calm down. So that was the end of Act 1. After intermission, we open right up with another dance number, Dance Perchance.
Oh, yes. I forgot I already said that Holly Holly was my favorite, because it is.
This can be your favorite in Act 2.
Yes, for sure. It's just so good, and it's a really catchy dance song.
Yeah. Dance Perchance. It's great.
Yeah, I love the energy.
It's great. It's all great. I do think it's funny, because we know this, Shah Rukh isn't the best dancer in the world. And so he, like, if you are just watching him, like, shoulders down, his dancing is, like, very stiff and a little bit awkward. But it's his smile, it's his light, it's his, like, energy that makes, you have to want to notice to even feel that.
Because Shah Rukh's very athletic.
He is athletic, yeah.
But he doesn't have, like, the grace of, like, a Hrithik.
Right. I think that's an excellent point. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
He does have his hips and the swishing. Yeah. Are great, though. That's where the grace is. The grace is all in the hips.
And that's okay with me.
But so this dance number ends with Raj and Tawny performing for their class, and they do get chosen for the competition. Yay! And they hug in celebration, and it's a little bit uncomfortable because this is also the first time that Suri is hugging his wife, but it's as Raj, so there's a lot of complicated feelings. But
yeah,
great, they're happy. And they decide to celebrate by having a golgappa eating competition to see who can eat the most golgappa.
Yeah.
And it's very cute, and they're, like, sweating by the end of it. But Raj does win, and they agreed that the winner could make the loser do anything that he wants, and the loser can't say no, which is risky, and I do feel like setting some additional parameters wouldn't have been a bad idea, but...
it's a very risky move to do with, like, a guy who's been openly, excessively flirting with you.
Yeah.
You're really just relying on the fact that he's not a bad person, which he's not.
Yes, so. And at this point,
and obviously you could
trust.
Say no. Yeah.
And yes, yeah, you could call the police if you had to. But so... Tawny goes home and she excitedly tells Suri about making it into the competition, and she has made him biryani as a special treat, and poor Suri forces himself to eat it, especially because Tawny starts talking about Raj and how great her partner is. So again, I think there's some complicated feelings coming up, but he forces himself to eat, and then we see him lying in bed, extremely bloated, saying that now he fully understands how painful love can be.
The idea of eating that much on top of what he's already eaten actually makes me physically ill.
Me too. I would throw up.
Yeah.
And then there's this whole thing where Tawny accidentally kicks a woman in class, and that woman's partner, like, gets aggressive, and this ultimately leads to a motorcycle race accompanied by the Doom theme song. Tawny and Raj emerge triumphant from this experience, and the rival couple is knocked into a vat of red dye.
Yes.
And that's that. Raj arrives at class the next day to find that all of the women are tying Rocky to their male partner's wrists, claiming them as their brothers. And so Raj is alarmed by this. He wants to be a lover, not a brother. And so he hides in the bathroom telling Tawny that he has diarrhea.
Yeah. And you know that if I maybe this is just coming from like American sensibilities, but you're in really dire straits if you would rather tell the girl you're crushing on that you're having diarrhea.
Then whatever it is that you'd be
then
doing.
Whatever it is. Yeah.
If you didn't pretend to have diarrhea. Yeah. But Tawny then invites him to, like, leave class and go shopping for their costumes instead, and this cures his diarrhea, so he tags along. He's fine now. And while they're shopping, Raj asks Tawny what girls want out of a relationship, and Tawny tells him that girls just want to be loved like no one has ever been loved before. He then cashes in on his prize for winning the Golgappa eating competition, and he asks Tawny to spend the whole next day with him because it's his birthday, and as we know, birthdays sacred in Bollywood movies.
Always.
Even if he hadn't won the competition, she'd be locked in. And she agrees, and this brings us to our next number, Tujmein Rabdikta Hai. And I forgot that this song was in this movie, and as the, like, melody was playing at earlier points, I was like, oh my god. It was like getting shot in the heart with an arrow. Like, it just,
it's a good one.
It's so good. I love it. And I forgot how much I loved it after first watching this movie and how it was one that I would listen to, like, again and again. And it has 1 billion views on YouTube. Isn't that amazing?
That is.
Yeah.
Oh my god. I wonder, like, compared to Hale Hale.
Oh, I did actually look. The rest of them weren't even close to a billion.
That is beautiful.
Yeah.
That, like, the sweetest, most romantic song from this film is the one that...
that has stood
soared.
Out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was, like, scrolling through the comments, and there were a ton of people who were like, who's here in March 2024?
Yeah.
I was like, I see you. Listen to the podcast. No. But, yeah, it's great. Raj and Tawny are traveling around together. I like that we get a lot of religious representation, and it's multiple different religions that we're seeing represented in this song in a beautiful way. And he keeps imagining himself as Suri, kind of like coming out of his shell and showering her in love in the way that he can do as Raj. After the number, Raj brings Tawny to a lookout point where he has coordinated strategic power outages, is the only way that I can phrase it, so that the city lights go out except for lights that say, I love you.
I feel like that's probably illegal.
I think that's, at the very least, unethical. Who knows how many people on life support just died as a result.
Oh my god. Yeah.
It was very brief. I'm sure they're all fine. But Tani tells Raj that she's married, and Raj says that he knows, and he has no expectations. He just wanted her to know that he loves her, and now they can just go on, continue being friends as if nothing happened. Mm-hmm. But Tani says she can't do that, that everything has changed, and she tells Raj to stay away from her. Not in a cruel way, but in a way of, like, I can't do this.
This is a lot. Yeah.
So Bobby tells Suri that enough is enough. He has to tell Tani the truth. But Suri says that he needs to know whether Tani is in love with Raj or with Suri.
But again,
they are the same person.
They are the same. And what I also love about this movie is that in order to fully realize who Suri is, Suri had to be someone else.
Yeah, like show the complete opposite end of the spectrum.
And realize, oh, there are pieces of this that is me. And I'm like, that's very counterintuitive. But at this point in the story, when he's like, no, she has to recognize Suri's love or, you know, nothing at all. And it's like, well, what is Suri's love anymore? Is that actually how you show love?
Yeah. I feel like that's kind of how Bobby responds. And he's like, well, listen, then why don't you, as Suri, like, shower her in love the way you do as Raj? But Suri's like, no, that's not who I am. And if she's really going to love me as Suri, she has to accept, like, the quiet hole hole of it all, you know?
And which I'm like team Bobby here.
I am too.
Bobby's speaking sense.
He is. Yeah. Who would have thought that Bobby would be the logic point of this film when we first met him? But I think you're absolutely right that in order to emulate Raj the way he does, Suri has to be some of that in him. Mm-hmm. Even Shah Rukh Khan is not that good of an actor. Like, as much as he claims he's not a romantic in real life, it's like, I don't believe that for a minute. But Suri and Tani then attend a fair, and there's a wrestling competition happening that Suri joins because the competition is a trip to Japan, all expenses paid. And he wins this competition. He wins this trip to Japan. And despite his victory, Tani is upset that he entered the competition at all and was trying to act like a hero for her. And Suri says that he was just trying to make her happy because she lit up when they were looking at the sort of Japan exhibition at this fair. Mm-hmm. And Tani begs him to stop trying to make her happy, saying that he has done enough for her. And I understand the guilt that she's feeling in this moment.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, he has done a lot for her without needing any thanks in return. And I can also understand why, like, a person who is in and of themselves, like, fairly generous with their love ordinarily.
Right.
Would really struggle with receiving that without reciprocating it.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, too, that she's probably also looking at this man and being like, I definitely can never love you.
Yeah.
But also, I think I thought I could never love anyone ever again, and I am falling in love with someone else.
Yeah.
Which, makes it so much worse.
It does, yeah, for sure.
But it's the same man!
I know, and I'm gonna table the response I was gonna have to what you just said for just a few minutes, because we're almost to the scene where I want to talk about it. The next day, Suri leaves for work without his lunchbox, but he leaves a note for Tani saying that he's sorry, and so Tani brings his lunch to him at work and hands him a note saying that she is sorry too. It's a very sweet little makeup moment between them. Mm-hmm. And that night they go to a movie where a nerdy boy wins the girl in the end. And Suri is enjoying this, but Tani, it's too much for her. She leaves the theater and she goes to find Raj. So Suri goes to the garage dressed as Raj, and Tani asks Raj how he can love her without her showing him love in return. And Raj says one doesn't only love when it's reciprocated, and then he tells her simply, I see God in you.
Yeah.
And Tani says that she doesn't see God in anyone, but with Raj, she's beginning to see that love doesn't always have to be painful, and she's beginning to have that light in her life again. And so Raj tells Tani to run away with him, because sometimes God doesn't give happiness freely, and you have to take it for yourself. And so they embrace, and Tani begs him to take her away, and he promises that tomorrow night, the night of the competition, will be their last in Amritsar.
And it's like Suri accomplished his mission
yeah.
with Raj. But this is also like the most heartbreaking thing he could hear. Yeah. Oh, so he's like holding her in his arms and saying, yes, we'll run away together. But
yeah. But I also, this is where I wanted to say this thing I've been teasing. I don't actually think that Tani has fallen in love with Raj.
No.
Because I think he made her happy when she didn't think that she could feel happiness again.
Yeah, I guess that's, yeah.
And I think, you know, and I do, I think she thinks that she's in love with him. But I think ultimately what she's feeling is a very, like, surface level attraction to the way he makes her feel. And I think she agrees to run away with him because of the guilt that she feels with Suri, because of how much he's done for her. And again, these feelings that she is having for another man. Because I don't, there's certainly no lack of feeling there. I just don't think that the feeling is, like, genuine love.
Yeah. I think that's a really good point.
Yeah. That's how I agree with that
as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I do think it would be really hard to go through the level of like tragedy she went through.
Yeah.
And then not feel some sort of deep connection with whoever it is who helps you kind of
get through that.
Emerge. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Even if it's not love, like you will be feeling some sort of deep feelings.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, of gratitude, potentially.
Mm-hmm. And while Suri was doing, like, the gentler things that were helping her, he wasn't really fully pulling her out of it the way that, like, Raj was.
Yeah, maybe that's ultimately the point of this movie, is, like, you really need both to, like, get through a tragedy. Is like, the simple, small, like, day-to-day things go a long way, but then also the person who can just, like, make you laugh out loud again, like, that's also a big help. So Suri tells Bobby that because Tani couldn't recognize his love for her as Suri, he's going to set her free. And he says that he is going to leave her the house and he is going to transfer to Delhi. He bears her no ill will. She gets to live comfortably, but he's going to just excuse himself from the picture. But then before the competition...
But also, then she'd have no one.
No, that's true. I think she would just be really sad again.
Sad, yeah. Because at least it's like she and Suri have developed a friendship of sorts, you know?
Yeah. Well, and can you imagine, too, if, like, this woman, like, finally thinks that she can love again, and then that man just disappears? Like...
Yeah, oh, God.
That's going to just break her all over again.
Yeah, it wasn't a particularly well thought out plan.
No, it really wasn't. He did not see this through to the end. But before the competition, Suri wants to bring Tani to the temple so that they can seek blessings for this important day in her life, which is very sweet. And at the temple, we hear Suri pray for Tani to be happy. And we hear Tani pray to see God. She just wants to have that experience and wants to, like, understand her own feelings by seeing God in whatever kind of the right decision forward is. And when she opens her eyes, there is Suri.
Yeah.
And that is who she sees. And we see her bend to take his blessing. So that night, Tani meets up with Raj, but she tells him that she can't run away with him because Suri held her hand when she was alone, and she won't let go of his hand now.
Yeah.
And then she says he may be boring and simple, but she sees God in him, and she can't leave him. And this is just, isn't this just the best case scenario for Suri?
Yeah.
He's just like, you know, as Raj, like, well, that's a bummer, but I get it. But in his head, just celebrating. Then we go to the dance competition, and the MC for the competition calls Tani and Raj on stage. But when only Tani emerges into the spotlight, she tells the judges to disqualify them. But then who should join her on stage? But Suri. And Suri, dressed in his baggy button-down and his terrible khakis with his glasses, looking adorable. And they dance. And and of course, this proves to Tani that Suri is Raj, Raj is Suri, and she has been falling in love with her husband this whole time.
isn't that the dream?
I think so. I think that is what you would hope for in life. If what you want is a husband, well, I think what you should also want is to love them. Yeah.
But can you imagine too that you're like, I don't really have feelings for my husband, but then there's this other guy, and then like you just kind of hope the entire time, like, I really hope you're actually my husband.
And it just makes me think of the end of You've Got Mail when Meg Ryan was like, I really hoped it would be you. And it's like, well, what if it hadn't been though? You're into this other guy, and then there's this email guy, what are you going to do?
About an alternative to that where it was like, I really hoped it would be you, and then it being like, it's not, it's actually me, it's this other guy.
I just came here to introduce you to my friend George.
Oh.
He's the one who wrote the emails. Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it's great.
But so the curtain falls and Tawny and Suri are alone backstage. And Tawny accuses Suri of lying to her. And you think for a minute that she's mad, but then she says, you lied to me when you said you didn't know what love was.
Aww,
and she says, she says he turned her sadness into joy and showered her in love when she couldn't give him any, and asks how he can possibly love her so much. And he says once again that it's simple, he sees God in her. And they embrace, and then Suri says he hopes that God won't mind that he loves her more than he loves God.
Oh, yeah.
And of course they win the competition as Mr. and Mrs. Sawney, and the screen fades to black and we see a quote, there is an extraordinary love story in every ordinary Jodi.
Yeah.
So sweet. And then over the credits, we see pictures of their honeymoon in Japan, mm-hmm. narrated by Suri, who explains that he's still a bit shy, but they're happy together, dancing in the streets, and I think we can safely assume that they live happily ever after.
Oh, I have goosebumps.
I
love it.
It's so good. It's so sweet. I love this movie.
Me too. And I also just love, like, the quote of, you know, there's an extraordinary love story in every ordinary Jodi, because it also makes me think about, like, Yash Chopra and his wife.
Yeah.
And, like, aww, their love story that we learned about in The Romantics.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that's so true.
It's just, like, the definition of romantic, this film is.
It really is, just down to its core. But in a way, again, that's not this, like, flashy romance.
Right.
Ultimately, the love that is truest is the love that is kind of quietest and just being there for somebody in the way that they need you to be there for them. And I think that that's a definition of love, whether it's romantic love or friendship or family. Like, that's really what proves to someone how much you love them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the last idea that I wanted to share about this movie, you know, we've talked about second loves before and how in most of the romances that we've seen, second love isn't really an option. It's like you can never love anybody once you've been in love with somebody once. And if you do fall in love with someone, that first love wasn't really real.
Yeah.
I love that that is not the point of this movie. There's never a conversation where Tawny suspects that her first love, who she was going to marry, wasn't a real love. We never really even hear about him, and there's no jealousy about him. It's like she got to have that love. It ended in tragedy, and now she gets to have a second love. And I just think that's beautiful, and I wanted to call attention to it.
I appreciate that, too, because I think when we've previously talked about, like, oh, what movies are there that talk about second love?
Yeah.
Ramne never even came to mind.
No.
Because we don't see the first love.
Right.
But that's a great observation, too. And it just makes me love and appreciate the Chopras even more.
Yeah.
For, like, being so open and accepting of the love stories that they're telling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And telling them with, like, grace and respect.
Yeah.
It's excellent. Well, we've already done our research, and we are ending on a much happier note than I think we would have otherwise.
I agree with that. I'm happy that we made that choice.
I had one piece of Bollywood news. I do feel like we need to mention on the podcast the fact that Deepika and Ranveer are having a baby.
Good, because if you weren't gonna say something, I was going to say something, because again, we were away for a week. Like, it's been like 3 weeks since we actually recorded. But come on,
I know,
these
so
beautiful
excited.
People are going to have a beautiful child.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited mm-hmm. for them. Like, they love each other so much. They're going to love their baby so much.
I know.
We're going to love their baby so much.
I think of all of the Bollywood babies that have happened since my love of Bollywood began, this is the one I am most excited about. I'm like, is it going to be a boy or a girl? Is it going to be look more like Deepika or Ranveer? I can't wait to find out. I'm so excited.
Oh, thanks for sharing. It's amazing.
100%. Happy to talk about Bollywood. It anytime.
Yeah. We'll be on Bollywood Baby Watch.
Yeah. I know. We should have a new segment. There's a lot of babies on their way. So
there really are. It's kind of like Tiger Booty Watch, but...
but more wholesome.
But more wholesome. Yeah. Which is great. Anywho. Pluggables. We're going to do pluggables.
Smooth transition.
Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Two White Girls Talk Bollywood. Do what you do.
Yep.
And also consider subscribing to us on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. You can also leave a rating or review. And as always, we appreciate you for listening.
Very much. We're always happy to be here with you. And we hope you'll join us as well on YouTube and Spotify, where we keep our Bollywood bangers playlists and add our favorite songs and dance numbers to those playlists from each of the movies that we watch. And you can find those linked in our episode descriptions as well as in our Instagram posts on Tuesdays.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, we mentioned this in our episode last week, what our next film is going to be. We will be watching Animal.
Yes, which is, I'm fascinated to know what kind of an experience this is going to be. It seems like it's going to be too. Dark.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Violent. Completely different film than Rabne.
I think I might get a little scared, maybe.
It could be scary.
We'll see.
We'll see what kind of emotions this brings out in us. But yeah, we like to, you know, we like to swing back and forth, keep everybody on their toes with the the vibes of the movies we watch. This is, of course, the Ranbir Kapoor's most recent film, came out towards the end of last year. It's finally available on streaming for us. We've also got Anil Kapoor.
Yeah, and, I forgot he's in it.
Yeah, and so I'm excited to see those two on screen. So the plot description on IMDb is, the hardened son of a powerful industrialist returns home after years abroad and vows to take bloody revenge on those threatening his father's life.
Ooh.
So yeah, bloody revenge. That does tend to evoke something, doesn't it?
Some violence. Yeah, I mean... Yeah, I don't know what it says about me that I'm like, yeah.
I know. I am also like, let's just see Ranbir go on a killing spree. I'm excited.
Let's see some bloody revenge.
He is like drenched in blood in this movie poster too.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's a lot. We don't condone violence.
Except in the movies.
Yeah. His hair looks glorious.
I know, his
though.
Hair and his beard, it's great. It's a great look.
Yeah. So, Animal is available to watch on Netflix, but the Netflix synopsis is not much of a synopsis, so once again, I'm glad that we got yours.
Yeah.
But it says, fists fly in this bloody action thriller starring Ranbir Kapoor and Anil Kapoor and directed by Sandeep Reddy Vanga.
Yeah, there's nothing to take away from that other than the actors and the director, which are important, but not helpful in terms of the plot.
Nope.
But so we'll find out.
Yeah, I literally, like, I guess I have some expectations.
Yeah.
But not many.
Not many. Yeah. Same. So we'll see.
So yeah. Until next time. Remember, Bollywood doesn't need us.
Mm-mm.
But we need Bollywood.
Yeah. I was trying to think of something cheeky to say, but I couldn't think
of anything.
Yeah,
sometimes there's nothing.
It's pretty
sometimes
much
there's
just,
nothing.
Yeah, that is how we feel. Yeah.
Yeah. Great.